Our scripture passage today is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9.
For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments.
Thank you, Gems, for leading this service so far. As I'm listening to all the Gems sings, I'm just thinking every time how this fits in the sermon so well. And that's what happens when we all study the passage of the Word of God, where we all come to the same conclusion. So thank you, Gems, for that. On April 9, 2022, the most wonderful thing happened. I stood in front of a large group of people in a church, and I was perfectly poised as I gazed at the handsome man across from me. He was wearing a tux. I was wearing a beautiful white dress myself. I had my hair and makeup done, and I was holding a cascading bouquet of flowers. On this very special day, I entered into a covenant relationship. I stood in front of this man, and I very publicly promised that I would be his wife. I promised to love and be faithful to him. Matthias also publicly promised that he would be my husband. He promised he would love me and be faithful to me. Thus was the start of our covenant relationship. He made promises to me, and I made promises to him, and we both agreed primarily that we would love each other and be faithful, and we are now bound together. We both must uphold our promises for our covenant relationship to work. It was the most wonderful day, and as much as I believe it was the best wedding in the world, there was a far better one many years ago. For a greater covenant relationship was made. The Lord God had chosen Israel out of all of the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, to be his treasured possession. He entered into a covenant relationship. He promised that he would be their God and they would be his people. God's people promised that they would obey his commandments. Both agreed primarily to love each other and be faithful. So God and God's people were bound together. Both must uphold their promises for the covenant relationship to work. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that one of the constant themes running throughout all the pages is that Israel was constantly being unfaithful to the Lord God. They were constantly disobeying him, constantly breaking covenants. What a crazy thing that is. Before we go any further, let's just think about that for a moment. God initiates and joyfully enters into a covenant relationship with humans. And it's humans that break our side of the covenant. So think about it this way. Sometimes I see these mini stories or memes on social media about people's marriages or engagements. I saw one once about Taylor Swift's engagement to NFL player Travis Kelce. It was a joke about how they never fight. And someone said, yeah, If I was engaged to someone whose net worth was $1.6 billion and mine was $70 million, I wouldn't fight with her either. When people enter into a covenant with someone else or get married, usually they're fairly even. And when they're not, then it can make headlines. So in the case of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, it's money. Taylor Swift has much more wealth than Travis Kelce. And it's not just wealth, though. I mean, there's also age. Usually, people get married in roughly the same age range. So when we hear that one spouse is 20 or 30 years older, we might get a little suspicious. And besides money or age, it could be our looks. If we see a model who is with someone who is more plain looking, we may wonder. And if you are the middle-class person marrying the billionaire, my guess is you're not going to be the one breaking your side of the covenant. If you're not the good-looking one, you're definitely going to uphold your side. And if you're 20 and if your spouse is 20 and you are 80, since you're going to want some help in the nursing home, it's probably a good idea to be faithful to your young and limber spouse. Now, this is what's happening in the Bible. Now, of course, this is not a perfect analogy, but it can help us to think about this. God is the billionaire. He's the young one, the good-looking one, if you will. And we are the ones breaking covenant. We doubt him. We disobey him. We are unfaithful to him. We don't love him the way that we ought. Verse 7 stresses that God didn't choose Israel because they were somebody. He chose them because they were nobody. And yet, Israel constantly breaks covenant with him. Perhaps one of the most vivid stories we have of this is in Exodus. Our text reminds us, "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath, kept covenant, he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." In one of the most astonishing displays of power the world has ever seen, the Lord God used Moses to rescue his people out of the land of Egypt. Those were his people. He made a covenant with them, so nothing was going to stop him from getting them out of Pharaoh's grip, out of slavery, and bring them to freedom. They would know that only God could do something like that. After they were saved and they were safe, the covenant was confirmed. Israel responded with, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Shortly after, Moses went up the mountain, and he was gone a little bit too long for the Israelites' liking. And they got nervous, they got scared, and without the consistent influence of God and his word in this time, other influences of the world crept in. Instead of turning to God, they turned to cultural, religious practices. They made a golden calf to worship, which has ties to Egyptian religious practices. And they gave that golden calf credit for leading them out of Egypt. So the Lord God was angry. I mean, they broke their end of the deal. I mean, he could destroy them. He has all of the power. But he won't. And he never will. Actually, he can't, because the Lord God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Let's break that down. The Lord God is God. He is the faithful God. To be God means that he is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is faithful to his character, his own nature. When we say that God is loving, he is always loving. When we say God is merciful, he is always merciful. When we say God is faithful, he is always faithful. God doesn't have mood swings. God doesn't act according to any emotional outbursts. Psalm 103 doesn't say, the Lord is compassionate and gracious when he's having a good day. He is slow to anger and abounding in love on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God is always like that. God is always holy. He is always good, always loving, merciful, gracious, just, truthful, patient, wise, always. This is different than humans, of course. Generally speaking, I think I'm pretty nice. I think I'm fairly patient. But you know, put me in a traffic jam with a full bladder and an empty stomach with little sleep, and I can deny my niceness and become a totally different person. There is no circumstance whatsoever that can change God's character. He is who he is forever and always. As the hymn goes, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. God is faithful to his character and who he is. Know therefore the Lord God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Covenant of love. Don't you just love the sound of that? Keeping his covenant of love. The word here for love is chesed. Sometimes chesed is translated as faithful love or loving devotion or steadfast love. The very covenant he made was a covenant of faithful love. A covenant where he would show faithful love. He would show loving devotion. He would show fierce loyalty. This covenant of love is enduring. God's faithful love far outweighs his judgment and will have generational impacts for those who are in that covenant of love with him. So we've been breaking down verse 9, which is the GEMS theme verse. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. The first word in that verse, the first word is know. Therefore, know. Know the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. We have every reason to know that God is faithful. God is faithful because he is God. He has to be faithful to himself. He never changes, and he can't not be faithful. He entered into a covenant, which is inherently to be faithful. But that covenant goes even deeper because it's a covenant of love where he would always show faithfulness. Even when his people are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And his faithfulness is so powerful that it endures for thousands of generations. So when his people don't hold up their side of the covenant does not break. It can't. We are bound to him because the Lord God is God. He is the faithful God. We can see it in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God choosing his people and telling them he's going to be their God. Then his people disobey and break covenant, but the Lord our God remains faithful. There's another theme throughout Scripture that we see. We don't just see God's people breaking covenant. We see people in the Bible who do trust that God is faithful. The ordinary, everyday people who are going through one of life's storms, and rather than turn away from God, they turn toward God. They trusted in God's faithfulness and were able to step out in faith. And the Gems Litany reminded us of them. We have Peter walking on water. There was Moses leading the people out of Egypt. Don't forget Daniel, boldly praying. Mary was serving with all of her heart. The Samaritan woman testifying to everyone who Jesus is. And when we look at these stories of when people could step out of the boat, the people who were willing to obey, they were the people who were able to trust that God was faithful. And yet, even though we have all of this evidence that God is faithful, we still live sometimes as if we believe God is not, as if God is not trustworthy. We don't live like we know that our God is the faithful God. We don't live as if we are in a covenant of love with the Lord God Almighty. This is what the Gems theme is getting at, what the girls have been learning about all year. We were created to be confident in God's faithfulness and living courageously in obedience to God's truth, to step out of the boat. But without the consistent influence of God and his word, other influences of the world can creep in. And one of those influences is technology. Our phone and computer, they scream for our attention. So let's just imagine this. Let's say there's a 10-year-old girl, and she's in a covenant of love with the Lord God. She is also on social media, and she opens it up multiple times a day, and she scrolls down the screen, and she sees numerous pictures, all influencing her whether she knows it or not. She sees people post about their time at the beach, and she sees other girls in their swimsuits and begins to start feeling insecure about her own body, and these thoughts enter her mind. Maybe I need to eat less or start working out, or maybe she should ask her parents for more money so she can afford some better clothes with name brands. She keeps scrolling, and she sees a picture of people vacationing in Europe, the Eiffel Tower in the background. She starts to question her own family vacations. Why do we always have to go camping? Why can't we afford to fly to a warm place in the winter and sit at the beach? Why can't we go to Europe? And resentment can begin to grow in her heart. And she keeps scrolling. She sees a team that won the basketball championship, and she begins to feel pressure to get better at the sport. I'll never be that good, she might think, as she contemplates quitting. The comparisons are never ending. It doesn't even have to be a picture we see on social media. It can be anything that we see or hear that feeds our insecurity about how much money we make, the vehicle we drive, the shape of our bodies, the items that we want, the house that we live in. This gives birth to these feelings of insecurity or loneliness or pressure or anxiety. And in this time of trouble, when we get nervous, when we get scared, what do we turn to? Or who do we turn to? And too often we turn to an idol to help us. Too often we set our affections, our love, on something other than God, that will, thinking that that other thing will fix everything. And then we give that idol credit for rescuing us out of that feeling of insecurity. In doing so, we end up disobeying God. We end up breaking covenant. But nothing can stop God from getting us out of any grip of slavery we may be in and bringing us to freedom, which is found in the Word of God. When we are continuously influenced by God's Word and know that our God is the faithful God, we will no longer be insecure and timid, but be confident in our identity as people who are in a covenant of love with our faithful God. Now, perhaps you have experienced this yourself. We, the church, we are in a covenant of love with the Lord our God. No doubt we have broken our side of the covenants. We are not perfect, but God keeps drawing us back. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful. His faithfulness is not dependent on ours. The Gems have been learning about the ordinary people in the Bible that have done this. I mentioned a few of them earlier. Although ordinary people, some of their acts of obedience were quite extraordinary. So Peter obeyed Jesus when Jesus invited him to step out of the boat and walk to him. Daniel prayed right by a window as soon as praying became illegal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to get thrown into a fiery furnace. Stepping out in trust of our faithful God is not always grand or flashy, like literally stepping out of a boat and walking on water. Oftentimes, if not most of the time, stepping out of the boat is just the ordinary, everyday, small acts of obedience. When we step out of the boat, it's because we know and trust our faithful God. Stepping out of the boat most of the time looks like this: forgiving someone who has hurt you, saying sorry when you have hurt someone, doing honest and ethical work, listening when your parents tell you to unload the dishwasher, being kind to everyone in your school, keeping your mind clean from unhealthy images, helping the widow and the orphan, being thankful for what we have and living with a heart of gratitude, keeping your promises to your friends, doing what you said you were going to do. Sometimes stepping out simply looks like stepping one foot in front of the other, trusting in the Lord, even when things around you seem hopeless, trusting that God is the faithful God. Now, my wedding was a wonderful day when I entered into a covenant relationship with my husband. And the day when God entered into a covenant relationship with his people was an even better day. But still, nothing beats the day that Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, it was the ultimate display of God's faithfulness to his people. He was the only human to ever keep covenant perfectly. The only human to love and obey the Lord faithfully. However, he went to the cross as if he didn't. Jesus died on the cross as a covenant breaker. And because of what happened on the cross, everyone who believes in Christ are now seen by God as being perfectly faithful. Because of the cross, our covenant relationship with God works. So, be encouraged, people of God. Those of us who are in a covenant of love with the Lord God, who have been redeemed by Christ on the cross, are considered by God as a covenant keeper. Rather than judgment, we receive faithful love. Be encouraged, people of God, that even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful. He will never let you go. He will hold you with his mighty right hand. We are bound to him. Because of the faithfulness of God, we have Christ now and for eternity. So let us respond to him in love and in obedience. Let us live with courage and confidence. Be encouraged, people of God, and know that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen.